Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening. I don't know, maybe it's 3 o'clock in the morning when you downloaded this broadcast. But however it is, I'm so glad that you are here and there. Put me in your pocket, take me out in the garden. That's the way this program works. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show for that tiny break that Zone 8 gets. Oh. Good morning, Lance. There are very few days that I don't want to be here, but it was so pleasant when I walked outside this morning with my cup of coffee that I ended up putting the coffee down and starting to pull weeds. It was so pleasant.
It has been a little false fall, I think.
Yes,
I've enjoyed it.
It's fake. It'll go away in another few days.
The 20-mile-an-hour wind gusts we had the other day, on the patio and just enjoying it. And you're like, I know this feeling, and it's too early for it.
But it's way too early, but it sure has been pleasant for a few days.
I was
able to get some things done in the garden, so that's
good. We need a little bit of water.
Well, yeah.
But at this time of year,
I need my trees to stop dropping limbs, too.
At this time of year, though, if you were coming into fall, so how much water is too much at this point, or is it, just bring it on type thing? If it started pouring down rain, you're going, hey, we need it.
There's always that possibility. And, yes, we would be – when we get too much too fast after a dry spell, then, of course, it's hard for the water to get where it needs to go. Sadly, we are looking – there. You know, the drought monitor still keeps ticking, and we are just about to be in a position of trouble in different – various places in the state of Mississippi, as well as some of North Louisiana. And it just hasn't given us all what we need in terms of the amount of water per – month. You know, we had a whole lot, then we didn't have much, then we had a little bit, now we don't have any. So the whole problem is we're not getting it when we need it. We have not talked a lot this year about blossom end rot on tomatoes, because we did have really, really good conditions for tomatoes early in the season. But it is one of the problems that is the result of water inequity. Too much today, too little tomorrow, back and forth. And the plant, the fruit itself just cannot ripen properly. So if we see super dry times, you know, I'm always in favor of watering deeply and slowly. But at the same point, there's days when, for example, the phlox in my perennial bed just need to be washed off a little bit. It was so dry this week that I didn't actually water them. I just wet them a little bit, and they perked right back up. So that tells me that their roots are in good shape. It's just a heat problem, as well as a little bit of trouble, frankly, with how dry it has been and windy. So every situation presents us with different issues to deal with. That is for true.
Trials and tribulations of a gardener.
We have the check-in from Missouri today. It's so pleasant up there.
Oh, I bet. The show me state, it'd have to be this time of year. As you're rolling into the September month, a little, what zone is that?
If that's a 7. No, that's 6. 6B. If I had saved up my money and this was the year, you know, I tell you, I don't have a bucket list, but there are things I'd kind of like to do. I'd like to see the puffins, you know, off Canada in the far, well, Tropical Storm Debbie's there today, so I'm glad I don't have those reservations. Can't we get these things to just stop? I mean, there's been so much rain and so many things for them, but not us. And we're once again in a high-pressure situation here in the Deep South.
I love all the conspiracy theories you'll hear on, like, ancient aliens and YouTube and all these things about, well, the government's controlling the weather. Like, well, if they are, they're doing a really bad job.
We wish.
Yeah, I wish, yeah. I mean, you're really bad at this if you're controlling.
That's right.
You know, it's like, I think you guys are thinking way outside the box.
We built better highways at one time. Yeah. I don't understand what you're saying. Anyway, it's very true. I've been looking at what plants are going to be looking good for October because, yep, that's right. It's coming up, the third annual Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour, October 5th and 6th. October 5th, I will be at Fondren Yard doing this program. I look forward to that. And I really appreciate them bringing me over there. Some really cool sponsors. The Fondren Renaissance folks, of course, put this on, and I get to have sponsorship from my dear friends at Lakeland Yard and Garden.
Veritable who's who of sponsors. Y'all did an amazing job putting that together, and that's going to be something that you've looked forward to since last year. We really wanted to do it. And, you know, sometimes things take a little bit of time.
Well, I thought it might have to be in my driveway, but it turned out.
And they were doing road work.
Taking me downtown.
So you're good now.
Down to Fondren. So that's really fun.
It'll be great.
I do have to tell you something that's not particularly fun, and that is for all of us who have way too many friends born between the latter part of July and the latter part of August. Do you know any birthday presents I need to make this month? The Leos have got it. Today is National Lion Day.
Mm-hmm.
So you Leos, the list is just too long.
It is. My sister we're like 3 days apart. My dog, Hawk, he'll be a full 1 year on the 16th as well. And there's so many people that
today is Spoil Your Dog Day, and that's kind of every day.
Well, we're going. So. He gets his first trip to deer camp today. The cabin is... livable.
I was going to say it's standing now.
It's ready to go. My brother-in-law, thank you, bro. You are amazing for helping yesterday. Getting to go through the Delta, though, and seeing, just seeing the plants. And there was that one, I don't know what the flower is that I shared with you about 2 years ago, but it's that big green, viney-looking plant that has that almost moonflower flower, and it's wild. They grow everywhere. Mm-hmm. And once it gets hot, they get kind of small. It's a white, beautiful flower. Mm-hmm. But when it rains, that thing will triple in size. And they're everywhere in the ditches. And I love going up that time, this time of year and seeing it because they're just white flowers, these beautiful, wild, white flowers everywhere. And they look very tropical. I don't know what they are. And when I drive back up today, I'm going to get a pic and ask you because it's one that
I'd like to see the picture before I guess.
At this time of year, as you get close into the fall, you can start seeing everything again because, the Delta is like a rainforest. I mean, you can see about 2 feet into the trees.
Yeah, there are parts of our world here in the Deep South that are very, very, very natural, quote unquote. Sometimes that's good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we disturb it, we end up displacing one set of things for another set of things. And that's why, for example, no one will tell you specifically where the native orchids are in Mississippi because they're hard to find for a reason. there's too few of them left. And so those are the kind of things that we really do appreciate when you can see just a little bit more, look a little deeper in there, past the kudzu and into the ditch.
I've seen the orchids at, I don't want to mention the...
Yeah, don't talk about
it. The stores, because they don't sponsor us, and they need to, but they had some pretty orchids for sale. And I noticed, the first time I'd seen them, I think it'd been about a week that I've noticed those. And honestly, I've always loved the flower, but I know orchids are a little finicky.
Depends on the orchid.
Right, they require some, putting them in the right place and these things. What is it about an orchid, though, that makes it so unique?
Beyond just spectacular flowers.
Yeah, beautiful flower.
Part of the difficulty was that they were so hard to propagate, which made them more prized.
Mm-hmm.
If you went somewhere and they had a display of orchids, you knew that you were looking at serious gardeners as well, or serious horticulture people, but as well as people with a fair amount of money.
Yeah.
So that with tissue culture, we've been able to get more of our orchids into our world, the bigger world. But the best part about it is that we now get to tell people the secret. There are orchids like moth orchids, the ones that look like a moth, actually get along fine in human conditions. Now, some of the others don't. There are some others that need, a warmer setting than we would be comfortable in to bloom or what, different conditions because they come from different parts of the world. But the ones that we can live with are just wonderful. It's something that is a 21st century innovation, pretty much. I like it. They're also one of those plants that you can literally ignore, and you should. When you get them into your house, moth orchids, Oh, I don't know, dancing ladies, you know, those things, the more common orchids that are house orchids really do appreciate being left alone, just watered occasionally, given light but not direct sun. It's the temperatures,
basically the
house
cat
temperatures,
of the plant.
That kind of stuff. Kind of like that.
Kind of like a cat. You know, they want you to pet
them. I had a little discussion with my cat this morning. I said, if you're not nicer to me, I don't understand why I'm talking to you. There is no why are you not being nice to me? It was too early. I didn't want to jump up and run around the house, but that's what she wanted. So, interestingly enough, I don't know, Bill and Perkinson. We're going to look it up and try and figure out what that is he's seeing, but that's a good guess. Trey. My goodness, that's a pretty dog. See? He's spoiling his dog right there.
I love it. I love it. That's where mine's going to be a little later today. And I love the John Wick
great
license plate with this sweet dog sitting right there. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Trey. And if anybody has some orchids y'all been working on out there,
show us
your
orchids
today.
Let us see them. I am, in fact, happy to report that this is not an uncommon problem. Joe and Madison, good morning. There are 30 encore azaleas, and the majority of the leaves are looking stippled. So I'm gonna when we get into the next segment, I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit. I want to tell you what to do. But it's not a problem that needs to be – it's something you need to handle, but it's not something that's going to kill the plants. Today is, in fact, the 80th. I always like to emphasize things and people in their 80s that are doing such a good job. Today is Smokey Bear's 80th anniversary. Now, that's because he got here as a full-grown bear. You know, I don't believe we have to count from when he was born, but yes, that was what happened. They found a bear after a forest fire, and that's where Smokey Bear came from, because they wanted to use the image of this bear to explain to people why you need to be more careful. That still doesn't explain the guy shoving his mother's car into the ditch in California, which started the largest fire they have had this year. I'm pretty sure he's going to stay in jail for quite some time. But things that are accidents, still, it can be avoided many times simply by listening to Smokey Bear, listening to our Firewise folks, and doing what you need to do. His name, the dog's name, is Officer Obi.
Keep in order.
From Alice's restaurant. We had no idea. We just had no idea, Trey. We didn't realize that there was so much folklore going on here with your dog. Well, I understand it. Makes sense to me. The dog looks like he knows more than I do about what's happening today.
Well, he's got it made, too. That's a heck of a spot. That's the writing on the back of the four-wheeler or the side-by-side. That has to be a dog's favorite thing in the world.
You know.
I know. I mean, mine love it.
Why not?
Yeah. I had to train him. It's like you do anything. You got to put a little effort into keeping them from jumping out the back when you're going 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you don't want to do that. Officer Obi looks like Officer Obi knows how to ride in the back.
I think he's got that figured out. I'm guessing that there's several other padded accoutrements in that particular cart for him, because he looks pretty comfy. I do like a multicolored face like that. That's pretty. One of the things that's going on in my yard is a turtle. We have a pet. Well, we don't have a pet. Pets are not turtles. Turtles are not pets. But I realize if you keep them in an aquarium, you feel like that's your pet. I'm not going to disagree with you, but this one's in my yard and lives there. There's a toad that lives there, too. And, yes, I saw the younger mouser coming around the house with a mouse the other day. So I'm interested to know if you have ever considered that there needs to be a word for animals that are not pets that live at your house.
Yeah, like the armadillo that I keep seeing.
Yes. These are not the vermin. These are not, you know, cockroaches in your pantry. We're not talking about that. But anyway, just another thing to think about. Oh, information this week that everyone needs to be aware of. I wish that I didn't have to tell you about it. But the 2024 measurements of our dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico put it larger than the state of New Jersey. I don't want to tell you how many years ago it was, because it really wasn't that many that they said it was the size of Delaware. You recognize that Delaware is like your little finger, where New Jersey is more than your whole hand in terms of a size comparison. And that's how much bigger it has gotten. It's unrestricted runoff up north of us along the Mississippi River. And then, of course, the oxygen conditions that get warmer and warmer in our Gulf don't give it any hassle. It's just going to go ahead and get deader. It's a non-oxygen zone. The area of bottom water hypoxia, okay, that's what hypoxia is no oxygen, was within the range experienced over the four decades that this cruise has been conducted. The reason I wanted to tell you about it is not just because we have to keep up with these things to be aware of our environment, but also because I think it's one of the most interesting things that you would do. I'm not, again, it's not on my bucket list. I don't have one. But if you called me today and said, we'd like you to go on the cruise to the dead zone to help us measure stuff, I'd have a hard time saying no, because that's such an interesting and terrible phenomenon that needs to be looked at, needs to be studied, and I'm glad that they are. It is just over 6,700 square miles.
It sounds pretty big. Isn't there like a bigger garbage island out there somewhere, too? It's not in the Caribbean, but it's there.
That's in the Pacific.
Yeah, Pacific. Yeah. So
there's probably ones other places.
That's like a planet. You know, there'd have to be like species of things living there we've never seen. Probably, you know,
exactly.
Plants growing all over.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's part of the displacement of what ordinarily would live there is the first problem. But there's also issues for the rest of us as it weighs out from one thing to another. Yeah. Here in the garden world, there are a lot of plants that love the summer. There's some others that don't. I got to tell you, the ornamental grasses are just magnificent this year. If you've not had a chance to get out and look at your neighbors or look at your own, I've never had as many blooms coming up on my escapee. I used to have a little grass that has now escaped and gotten bigger, and it recedes all over the place. But it's a very pretty grass, and it just looks lovely. You've got, you know, bottle brush tops on it and all that stuff.
I would say I'm really impressed with Ridgeland, especially Lake Harbor Drive. So any of you out there that are doing this work and taking care of the city property, y'all have done an amazing job with the landscaping, the ornamental grasses, the flowering plants. Very impressed, guys.
Nice. So,
and it's a beautiful way to come into work.
We'd love to give you a sound out.
Day.
You got a sound out for a beautiful space that you drive through every day on the way to work? Let us know.
Please do, because I mean,
we'd love
to
hear.
It's inspiring to see beauty.
I had somebody send me a note in the Facebook group and ask me about the text line, and I realized that it had fallen off of the Facebook page. So I did send it to them, but we look forward to all that. Love hearing from you. Love talking to you. And that's why we're here. It's the Garden Mama Show.
Building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Propane, clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
Oh, excuse me. My name is Stitch, and I'm one of the faces you'll see on the new Lucky Dog Scratch-Off game from the Mississippi Lottery. All you have to do is scratch. That's something dogs are good at. You could win up to $100,000. Now that's a lot of bones. Play the Lucky Dog Scratch-Off game today. And now I shall sing to you the song of my people.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Key Construct.
Some of those old tunes are just the best. I love those. feel like I could walk through a long hall, you know, and this music would be playing. There'd be all kind of people dressed fancy. Why not, huh? Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. All right, Joe and Madison, let's talk about your unfortunate stippling on your azaleas. Most of the time, most plants that get stippled leaves have a different problem. They have a spider mite problem. But, for example, I'm showing off today the combination of spider mites and assorted other things that are tearing up my lantanas. But in the case of the stippling on azaleas, it's 99 and 44 100% of the time it's going to be azalea lace bugs. And they are most vulnerable to being treated in the springtime. However, because you got 30 plants and they've all got it, I'm not going to say that I think you should not treat them. That's the double negative. That means you should do something. And what you should do, unfortunately, at this point is a systemic insecticide. Got to water the plants really well first, soak them deeply, and then pour the systemic at their base. It's long lasting. It will control these guys, and you may have to use it again next year. But if you will, in the middle of the wintertime, consider a neem spray or a horticulture oil spray. Those will help as well, and then you may not see the problem next year. But unfortunately, with that many plants, again, it's anytime I'm going to tell you to use a systemic insecticide, it's going to be because the problem is big and because the in this case, it's 30 azaleas in your residential lot, and also because the plants are worth saving. It's an encore azalea that's beautiful. It's just gotten infested, and we can fix that. So let's do that, okay? Okay. Interesting question. Jeremy's in Vicksburg. Wants to know, is this crab apple dying? And that the clue here is the wood is gnarled up on this branch that he's shown me. He says there are very few leaves this year. And when he cut off some of the lower limbs off the trunk, it appeared to be rotting. Chances are good that it is. If the tree is, look at the tree. Everybody should be doing this, by the way, because trust me, I did not see that tree limb come in that fell on my car this week. So take a look. Make sure things are not hanging. There wasn't anything hanging in this tree, but clearly I didn't see the limb that was vulnerable. You may not be able to. But in the case of Jeremy's crabapple, he has seen it. And it's already rotting under the bottom branches. The chances are good that the rest is too. If it's where it won't fall on anything and you don't want to replace it with some other tree this winter, leave it alone. Let it fall down if it's going to. Give it some attention. Maybe it can recover most of the branching and leaf out next year. But if you're already seeing rot at the bottom, the chances are the top's not in good shape either. I guess that's just kind of tree stuff, huh? that's a tree truth. Ooh, tree truth. My goodness. I have been inundated, and that means I got more than five in 1 week, with pictures of tallow trees that are popping up everywhere. People said, I never saw this tree before, and you told me it was bad, and now it's in my yard. It's like, please pull that thing up. But it's because we had just enough time last year. Things got dry. Other stuff didn't sprout. And when we got all the wet this year, it was deep water, which means that seeds that were far away and down below could sprout. And it also means that other things that were trying to sprout and had competition before still managed to. Seeds live a long time in most cases. Not everything, but most cases.
And tallow lives forever, I think.
It seems to.
It has a life of its own, and it's very creative in the places that it will choose to grow.
Between your toes.
Yeah, I mean,
if you
leave like a towel out long enough, you're going to have a tallow tree growing out of it.
I swear it's true. And for people who are going, but they're so pretty. That's true. But unfortunately, those seedlings become trees. They're not good for your grass at all. But they also choke our waterways. And that's the real problem.
I have to be honest with you. It is a pretty tree. I love the little weird, you know, heart-shaped leaf.
Mm-hmm. And then popcorn. What a great tree.
But it is such a nuisance to keep clean. People talk bad about a sweet gum, and I get it. They're a pain in the butt.
Well, yeah.
But they get to be big and mature and pretty, and that's the one that, if we're talking about trees and limbs, that's what hit our cabin. So, yeah, please. We just had it pruned. It was beautiful, and all of a sudden,
bang.
So back to the tallow, though. I mean, it is – This tree grows fast, and it puts out so much stuff. I mean, goodness gracious. I've never seen anything like it. So is there a way to discourage
it? It doesn't take much fertilizer.
Yeah, and that's what I was wanting to ask you about that. Is there a way I can actually treat the tree with something to discourage as much of the flowering but keep the tree healthy without having the bazillion?
Have you considered bonsai? I mean, seriously, you would have to prune the thing.
This thing's huge, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's not possible to prune, but you would have to prune it. Uh-huh. When it flowered to keep it from making seed.
And I did that for years. You know, it's gotten so big that it's hard for me to actually prune those basketball size limbs close to the house.
That's true.
And they grow so fast.
It's a
so
very
fast
growing tree.
Yeah.
And it is one of the things that does not need fertilizer. People talk about, people will put that plant in the bully category, and I will too. But other folks will say that it is probably invasive. It's not invasive until it gets a chance to be. And it is invasive in warmer, slightly warmer climates, like just a little bit farther south than where I am in central Mississippi. And it does not get any damage at all here anymore. The seedlings that you see sprouting up now will look just like that next spring, right before they take off and grow 3 feet. But the problem is those popcorns, and the problem is the reseeding that they do, because it creates a big problem. So, but they are coming up. They're popping up everywhere. It's terrible. I don't like them. People talk about clerodendron being bad, but really it's not nearly as bad as this one. Look how beautiful. Mary's in pearl. Oh, my goodness. Just gorgeous pineapple. I love it. It's so pretty. She says the first one is absolutely delicious. Well, of course.
Pineapple.
Because you grew it. That's
the best stuff ever.
Gorgeous. And I do like how you have, once the pineapple formed, I can see that you took off the pointy leaves that were going to stab you every time you walked up to the pineapple. I've seen people take those off on one side, for example, because they didn't need to get all the way around it. They just needed to be able to walk up to the plant. So I understand why you did that. But it's a particularly beautiful picture. If you happen to be with us on supertalk.tv, you'll be able to see it in the next segment. Oh, Kenneth, everything just looks great. Everything just looks great, Kenneth. Beautiful black-eyed Susans, beautiful elephant ears, and as always, beautiful water. That's just great. That's where you want to be, sitting in a chair with the breeze blowing on you. Come on, let's forget the work. We just want to go sit. I know they can't do that. You have to keep doing what you're doing, and in some cases, that is working on your vegetables. I have just started Chinese cabbage seeds. We'll see how that goes. But there are things that I want to grow but it's easier to go purchase them. Chinese cabbage is not one of them. The markets that I shop in, all the Chinese cabbages are as big around as my thigh, and that is not small. And they're not good. They don't taste like anything. But actual Chinese cabbage in a smaller situation, picked at a smaller stage, is a delicious cabbage and one that I think everybody ought to get into, especially if you make things like egg rolls or other stuff where you want a cabbage but you don't want the taste of cabbage to overwhelm everything else. Sometimes you'll find Chinese cabbage cooked with shrimp and then stuffed into Merlotons. It's much better than if you used really big old cabbage, because that's stinky cabbage. It's fresh, it's delightful, but it's going to overwhelm the shrimp, where Chinese cabbage won't. Different one. Has anybody got beauty berries in berry yet? I saw two strings this week, and I've seen some other plants, but they didn't have berries showing yet. I love calicarp. I love beauty berry. I think it's one of the prettiest ones that we have in terms of native plants that also can grow in a semi-shaded environment. They don't need a full day of sun to produce these berries. They'd like a half a day or at least dappled sun all day long, that sort of setting. But they're beautiful plants, and I really like the way they express their branches to hold the berries. It's as if they're telling the birds, you know you want this. Come on. You know, the branches are beautifully arched and go into a wonderful fall. They weigh with the berries on them, and then the berries, of course, just line the entire branch going down to the ground sometimes. Just beautiful. Wonderful, wonderful plant. I love watching my robins are there are robins in the Eliagnus hedge. I think they're living there. I think they might have a nest, but so far, each time I've walked over there, they have really gotten after me. So I haven't gone to really, I don't want to explore too much. But interestingly enough, they're prettier than they were in the spring. Mr. Robin is very, very red-breasted, and Mama is sitting on top of stuff and looking around. Her beak is as orange as I have ever seen on a female. It's just beautiful. I don't know how I got such pretty birds, because we all know I don't do anything for them particularly. Anyway, let's see. In Randolph, they're looking to plant hydrangeas at the old farmhouse. The main thing that you need to, in terms of hydrangeas, is picking the right one for the right spot. If you have morning sun, for example, French hydrangeas are going to do much better there than they are in an area that only has afternoon sun. On the other hand, limelight, the paniculatas, the ones that are in bloom, big bloom now, the white kind of cone-shaped flowers, are really going to do, not oak leaf, but limelights, are going to do a better job with more sun. So it kind of depends on where you put them. They do need a well-drained soil, but they don't ever want to be dried out. So if you have an irrigation system, sometimes it gets to be easier. But it's also easier if you have a soaker hose that you can just put on a timer. That, for example, if you know it's not going to be raining for a week, you could turn it on 2 days during the week just to have enough water to keep them going. You don't want them to be rooted so shallow because of hot weather. And even if you plant them in the fall, which is what I would recommend, you still are going to want to water them this way. Water them deeply and slowly. People plant all the time, and I'm certainly not going to disagree with that. But there's so many things that we can do to make it work a little bit better. And There are hydrangeas, of course, do need to be mulched, and they do need to be fertilized, but they don't need to be fertilized a lot. They need to be fertilized, for example, I've just pruned my French hydrangeas, and I'm not going to fertilize them this summer. I did put fresh mulch around them, however, and that's going to give me an opportunity to give them a little bit of nitrogen, but not too much, just enough to get them so they're not, I don't want them to be too tender going into the winter. I hope that makes sense. So anyway, when, how, and where. So those are my choices. Wait till fall, plant French hydrangeas with morning sun, plant limelights with either kind that you can enjoy. Good morning. Anna's in Oxford. Ooh, let's talk Chinese cabbage. How are you?
Well, not Chinese cabbage, but in fall of 2022, I planted some vegetables. They were transplants of broccoli and cauliflower and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in 2023, we had a freeze. I should go back. I put a shade cover over these plants because it was very hot. And one survived.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of those. It survived the winter. It's still alive. I've got one broccoli, which just is there. And I'm not, I guess I'm kind. I didn't want to dig it up or anything else. But I can't believe it. That was from 2022, and it's now still alive.
I love that. This is a broccoli with great determination.
Yeah, I like broccoli. My husband doesn't like it. But, I mean, I thought, well, we'd have broccoli over the winter. And secondly, you're talking about the calicopia, the beauty berry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, opposite my front yard is the backyard of Johnny Morgan's. And he died a while ago. And it was, there were beauty berry everywhere.
Mm.
And his worker was getting everything cut down. And my neighbor and myself, we went in and saved some.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got them now planted, and so does she. And they're green right now, but they're coming along. They're doing very well.
Love that.
And the ones that were cut down seem to be coming back.
I was going to say, they're not gone either. You would literally have to take a bulldozer and scrape them off that land once they're established.
Yeah.
They're
unfortunately, they're all along around Japanese stilt grass. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, that's a mess. I mean, it's pretty, but
I know it is.
It's hard to work around.
Well, it's pretty now, And in the fall, but then the wind comes and blows all those seeds onto my property.
I was going to say, and then it comes up all over town. You know? Listen,
yes,
we got to step out
creation.
Of here. Anna, I'm so happy to hear from you. We got to step out of here. I'm going to be thinking about that broccoli, though. I love that. I have a new icon. Y'all take care. We'll be right back.
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you, the farm families of Mississippi.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Told you it's time to plant beans. See how we did that? Leo Kaki, bean time. Anyway, I thought that's how we did that. We make references to things around here. Sometimes the music comes along and just helps us out. What can I say to you? There are a lot of different choices for what you can be planting right now. I had a text from somebody yesterday that said, okay, I got my beet seeds. And I was like, okay, where are you? So this person was in Hernando. I said, I would wait a minute, but because you have more time to grow beets there. But sure, go ahead, put in some, but don't plant all of them. Wait a couple more weeks, plant some more. We oftentimes treat our gardens as if they were farms. And it's something that I had to get past because I have done both. But it is true that you don't necessarily need to plant all the beans today. We have a fairly long bean picking season, and the beans don't take that long. So if you know, for example, that let's just talk flowers. Let's talk zinnias. If you have a 60-day zinnia variety and you plant them right now, we're not quite to the middle of August, so that means that in the middle of September headed toward early November, you're going to have zinnias. So that's how we figure these things out. At the same time, you could plant some next week, and you'd still have time to pick them. You can pick some next, plant some the next week after that. And beets really do work the same way. It's all kind of the same thing. Some texts that y'all have sent in today, and I thank you very, very much for that. Where to plant encore azaleas and when to plant them. I would prefer plant them in the fall if possible, but I got to tell you, as the shrubs come into your favorite garden center, the selections are great, and that's the time to shop, which is for any time between now and 6 weeks from now, but when you'd be able to start planting them. So go ahead and get them, put them in the shade, take care of the plants, and enjoy them. Get ready to have them in your garden. I think it's a great idea. What about an orange tomato? Patricia from Van Cleve is looking for one. My personal favorite is Sun Sugar, which is a cherry tomato that is orange. But a lot of people like Sun Gold. It's another good orange cherry tomato. When it comes to the big tomatoes, I like the mild quality of yellow tomatoes, and I think it's a really good one for stuffing, too. I'm particularly fond of Orange Jazz. If you can find that seed, it's not that hard. Usually it's not hard to find, but as soon as I say a name, you'll look it up and it won't be there. So here's a second one. which is a little harder to stuff. But if you look at orange heirloom, they're waffled. You know, they're ridgy, and they're absolutely delicious. But they do have a whole. If you laid it out, you would have twice as much skin as you have insides, because they're so up and down, up and down, up and down. But when you slice them, they're delicious. The skin doesn't get in your way at all. Let's see. Where is Mike? Mike is reworking his lilies and gladiolas. Whew, I need to do that so badly. I have Asiatic lilies, and I have calla lilies, and I have a couple other things in this bed. And they have all grown, and a couple of gladiolas, the whole business. If your leaves have died down at least halfway on the lilies and the glads, it's okay to dig them up. They'll be fine to sit out for a few weeks while you get the bed ready and plant them again. But if they're still fully green, or if, like mine, some of them are even trying to make seed pods, which I missed and didn't cut off, then it's time to cut them down a little bit more and let them turn a little bit more brown before you dig them up. We always say go prepare the other bed, but since you're going to rework the same one that they're in, it's a little bit more dicey. You can't dig them up and replant them the same day, probably. If you can, you're a Superman, and that's great. We appreciate you. Again, I need the same thing done, so come on over. But if you want to reset them, then this is a good time to get ready to do that. Just look at them. Let them be your guide. And if they have not come down, if they have not died back at least halfway, cut them off a little bit and encourage them to do that. Okay? I think that would be a good idea. I know it'll work because that's what I've been doing. Beautyberry bush. How lovely. Let's see. Really pretty. Use them in flower arrangements. Really lovely plant. Thank you for showing that to us. So pretty. And it is in heavy shade, so it doesn't have quite as many berries as other years. Some years there would be more. I get that. Pretty, pretty plant, though. Just beautiful. Mark wants to plant a chase tree, and any time between October and February is a perfect time to plant that. This is a chase tree is There's several names for it, depending on what you go, where you shop and how you find it, but you will find it as chaste tree. And I'm going to say the best place for them is going to be morning sun, but they can take afternoon sun if you're prepared to water them the first couple of years. They do need a regular soil, just something that drains decently. It doesn't have to be particularly one thing or another. It just needs to drain decently, and you need to be able to water them the first couple of years at least. I don't water particularly the chase tree that is in my front garden, but it gets a little water from other things. It has never actually wilted. It just seems to have been deeply rooted enough in the first place to take care of itself. So that's great. Alana in Houston. Oh, my goodness, the hydrangea. These leaf spots on the hydrangea leaves are not uncommon, but there's nothing that you can do about it right this minute except to make sure that when they fall off the plant, you're not leaving them underneath it to cause more trouble later. They'll make a little hotel, you know, for the fungus, and the next thing you know, they'll erupt again. So clean out everything that falls off of the plant. Then next spring, and of course it's a French hydrangea, it looks like, so if you haven't pruned it and you need to do that, you can do that. But next spring, as soon as it begins to put out new leaves, that's the point where you're going to want to spray it with a fungicide. And you're going to make probably three sprays about 10 days apart, starting at whatever point the plant leaves out. What that does is to inoculate it against that fungus disease. The fungus disease is there for months and months and months, but you don't see it until the summer when the leaf spots emerge. So that's why it's a problem we can't solve now. You can't ever solve a fungus problem. You can just allay it for, you know, delay it or belay it for the next time, or you can control it so you can live with it. So in this case, what we're going to do is make sure we clean around the hydrangeas really well, prune them if necessary, and then next spring make the two sprays of fungicide as soon as the leaves come out, because you definitely can fix that. Tell you what, Houston, y'all have gotten a lot of water this year, and I'm sad to say it. I know that y'all have. There's some years when there's not enough water in Houston, but there's other years when y'all have just a lot, and that those wet circumstances are one of the things that make the particular leaf spot that gets on hydrangeas a bigger problem. You may also be seeing, and in some cases, I've seen, but it's only in very, very wet times, but you may have seen gray mold looking stuff on things like elephant ears, even on caladiums. And that literally is just wet conditions. We when the leaves fall off, we take them off and we go ahead and give ourselves that opportunity. All right. I can't answer him right now. Do you want me to talk to him?
Well, no, let's do this. I will talk to him in the break since we're going to go and then give you an opportunity.
That's
to
great, network
for you.
We're rolling out, and I want I want to talk about those beehives.
Yeah, me too. I want to hear that. So perfect.
I love that. We'll start the next hour, I hope, with a good discussion with Jim and Madison. So much to do in the garden. Such a beautiful day for it. I know when we get busy, sometimes we look around and there's more to do than we can think about. But the good news is that every bit of gardening that you do is going to be better for your heart and your soul. It might even be better for your belly if you're growing some food, but it's certainly the thing to do. Take care of yourself, be kind to your plants, and be kind to each other. We'll be back after this.
Advocacy, a century of wins, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Have you lost Mississippi Medicaid? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Do you suffer?
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in. Thank you so much for deciding to put this particular program into your world. You got lots of choices. Good grief, the menu of programs and opportunities to hear stuff and talk about things and get into it with folks is pretty long. So I appreciate you wanting Garden Mama in your life. It makes my life a lot better. Trust me. Best 2 hours of any week is right here with y'all. Who's on the phone, Lance? Let's talk to Jim.
We got Jim, and he is ready to go.
Hey,
some great
Jim.
Questions.
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
By the way, I want to tell you how much I enjoy your show. I have a farm down in Jones County, and so every Saturday morning I drive down there to it. And your program, I listen to it in its entirety, the entire trip down. So I love your show.
You just made my week. Thank you.
Well, it's a good way to start off the Saturday. And we have a farm down in Jones County where we're trying to grow some pine trees. But we also have beehives and... Mm-hmm. I wanted to plant some clover, and the co-op has two types, Guarana and Ladino. Those are both white clovers,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if those are good for honeybees, or if there's another variety I should be looking at.
Ladino is brilliant for honeybees, and here's why. It is the only downside to Ladino and some of the other taller clovers is that they don't necessarily reseed as well. Who cares? You're going to cut it down after it's done and plant some more next year. So it, as an annual crop, you can't really beat Ladino for honeybees. The difference between red clover and white clover, for folks that don't know this, I'm sure you do, Jim, it takes a different bee to be able to access the nectar. And it only takes a little short tongue on the honeybee to get to the white clover's nectar. It takes the bumblebee and, you know, a bigger, massive effort to get into the red clover. So the white clover is the one you want. And I think Ladino is the one that I know people grow here. And it, I also have, it's a beautiful clover. And if you find that it's too tall, well, you know, there are other choices and other varieties. But I think for the, from the bee's point of view, you're going to like Ladino. I really do.
Well, that's fine. We have plenty of acreage in which to plant plenty of clover.
And I love it.
The other reason I enjoy your show is I also grow some plums, pomegranates, persimmons, figs, and blueberries. And this year, of course, I had a little bit better crop of plums because we missed the real, real hard freeze before. But I was able to salvage two of the trees. So those are the, like, Burbank, Santa Rosa.
Oh, I love Santa Rosas. Beautiful plums. And those, that's a good choice. Burbank and Santa Rosa together are great for pollination, so that's good choices.
Well, I'll send you a picture. You know,
please do. Such pretty trees.
They were loaded. They really were. And the only issue I had was, it's kind of funny, the Bruce tree had no worms, and the Santa Rosa, about half the plums had worms, half did not. But I treated them with the exact same chemical on the exact same schedule, and I don't know what happened.
You know, I was reminded hearing about the two-year-old broccoli plant from Anna in Oxford. Somebody sent me a picture of his three-year-old mustard green plant that came up in his sidewalk, okay? And it's like he's taking the leaves now and making them into wraps like you would a tortilla because it's so big. The leaves are like 2 feet long and still tender. My answer was, I have no idea. That's the same thing here. I don't know how that happens because you realize that it's science, but it's also art. And some day is different, and the spray falls off of this one before it falls off of that one, or any of those things. But we don't ever really know. We just hope hope we're not encountering better bugs that can get around what we're trying to do. So that's the main one. thank you so much for getting in touch.
Well, and all the information that you provide us out there, that we amateurs try to, you know, grow stuff, and you just are so helpful. And
thank you, Jim. It sounds to me like you're way past amateur, and I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing your pictures and your farm one day. Thank you for calling. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's so, so fun. Good heavens. To be out thinking about clover for your bees, that's just delightful.
And modesty.
Lots of modesty.
There.
Way
not
too
a
much.
Pro at this, and they're like, man, you're growing everything.
I'm telling you, it sounds to me, I'm literally one who appreciates the fruits and the figs and the whatnot as every bit as much as I appreciate the honey. But I have to tell you that to be able to keep bees and have honey is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've lived around it, so that's nice. No, Amanda's right. We're never going to get tired of zinnias. Those are so pretty. Those are lovely. Just beautiful. That was fun that day. Thank you, Paula. I appreciate that. We had a good time. We enjoy getting out and getting around, doing stuff. That's fun. Pawpaws. We're going to talk about those here in a minute. I wanted to tell you just one more little bit of information about things that happen in my week. Yeah, about Monday, I guess, I was at the grocery store. I thought you wouldn't have conversations anymore with people because you don't have a cashier and you don't have somebody waiting right behind you. Once we set up those self-checkout things, I didn't think there'd be that much conversation. And I wasn't even speaking. I've had people hear my voice in a checkout line and ask me questions because they recognized my voice. Thank you very much for that. But in this case, it was just checking out at the self-checkout. And this guy looked at me. He didn't look like he was flirting. He just looked at me. And then he said, "Are you on the radio?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, and his question was, "What's wrong with my hibiscus?" And he told me about it and talked about it for a minute. And meanwhile, they're all going, the machine is saying, "Scan your next item." Scan your next item. Anyway, so it turns out that my decision was that it was a white fly problem. So if you got a white fly problem, I can help you with that, too. Let's see. Oh, we're going to talk about pawpaws. We're going to talk a little bit today about the future of cheese. Yes, that is, you are correct. I'm still holding on to the cheese of the future information because I think it's so fascinating. There are a lot of things that we do and don't do that we would like to know more about, perhaps, and that might be one of them. There's always another story, though, you know. I'm really appreciate any of these things that will let us do stuff. Can I talk to Robert in Ripley? Okay. Hey, Robert, what's going on? You going to grow some pawpaws?
Well, I have a friend who has recommended them. I've never tasted one. I am a banana freak, and they say that they taste sort of like bananas. What's your take on those? Or can you grow them here?
Absolutely grow them here. They're a beautiful, beautiful tree. If you like bananas, you're probably going to like pawpaws. They're not the same, but they do both have the same kind of bite that's a little bit custardy. You know, it's a little softer than some other fruits would be. And it has a very tropical taste for being a tree that looks like it should just be in the woods in, you know, Virginia somewhere. But they're native to our part of the world, and they get to be quite large, and they are just beautiful. If I had space, I would probably have a pawpaw tree because they are beautiful.
How big do they get?
Oh, I'm going to say easily 30 feet, maybe bigger than that.
Oh, so
but it's
regular,
a tree. Yeah, it's tree. It's not like a plum tree. It's a bigger tree. Now,
okay.
You have to let them go for a while. They're not fast growing, but you do need it. It's not quite the same as a catalpa tree, but if you plant a catalpa tree, you need to be aware that it's going to be there a long time and it's going to take up a lot of space eventually. And pawpaws aren't going to take up as much, but they need to be like at the edge of your fruit orchard rather than in the middle of it because they are going to get big.
I see. Do they need a lot of water, or can they stand drought?
They will not stand drought the first 3 years or so till they're well established. They won't tolerate the drought, but after that, they're a lot tougher than they look.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. Your friend gave
you
a good tip.
All right. All right.
Have
Thank
fun.
You.
Oh my goodness, Jackson Utica. Hey, Jack. What's going on this morning? We lost him. Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Great. A couple of years ago, okay, well, we moved into a new place, and we found out that there are irises coming up all over the place. And also, a couple of years ago, I bought some kind of expensive irises, the old sweet iris, Pelida. Mm-hmm. Dalmatian iris.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
They say this is the time of the year to move iris. And it's so darn hot out there. I mean, can I wait until late September or
something? You absolutely can.
Okay, great. The important thing is to move it when they're dry, right?
Right. What you're trying to do really is you don't want the soil to be so dry that you have to take a pickaxe to get them out of the ground, which I have had to do before in my lifetime. I'm not making that up. But what you want is for the bulbs themselves to be dry and for them to not have a whole lot of green on the top because that dehydrates them when you try to move them. And at this time of the year, irises have bloomed out, and so have St. Joseph lilies, for example. I was looking at mine yesterday. And if I wanted to dig them up and move them, this would be the time to do it, if it's okay for you. In other words, if you've got the bed planted, bed prepared where they're going to go, and you're ready to move them, you could do it all in one and just put a soaker hose underneath them and keep them moist. But if it's a more difficult setting than that, or if you haven't got the other place prepared, it's certainly a better idea to wait a little while. We say all the time that the classic rule is to move perennials in the season opposite their bloom. But if we do that in zone 8, the season opposite the spring bloom could be now, or it could actually be in October. You know? So you have a bigger window than most places do.
The thing about the St. Joe lilies is I wasn't going to move them, but they've got a lot of grass growing over them. Can I just leave that grass? They're not, definitely not going to hurt those bulbs. Well, they're like deep.
If they feel like they're being competed with, if they don't have enough of their own leaves, they may be losing a little ground to the grass around it. And I've had to move. I've had some of mine that I could not get the weeds to stop growing around it. And, you know, so I ended up moving those bulbs last year. But, yes, they can take a little top cover as long as they're doing well. But if they're not, that could be one of your problems.
Okay, last question. Should
sure.
I cut the fans on the iris when I move them?
Yes. Make them so that they can transpire, but they don't have as much surface area to support.
Groovy.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, there's a word I don't hear nearly often enough. Thank you, Jack. Talk to you
later.
Have a
groovy day, man.
Bye now. Ah, groovy kind of love.
I have to agree with you on that. We don't use those words anymore. Radical,
yeah, we
gnarly,
need to bring those
groovy.
Back. They lead directly, though, into words that I cannot use on family radio. So they move the next. I have to hold on, you know.
You have to have the grown-up, like, 5 minutes of radio.
That's right.
Like
2 a.m.
Tune the kids out, 2 a.m. Gardening with some edgy words.
Oh, hey, Rebecca's in Adamsville, Tennessee. Haven't heard from you in a while. You're looking at a vine going up in the corner of her house, and it doesn't bloom, and what is it? Well, I don't know, but it looks kind of like pepper vine. I'm not really sure what this is. But start there. Start by looking up pepper vine, and it may lead you to another one. Pepper vine usually has a fancier leaf than this. But I don't know. It seems like by now it should have put on at least one flower, right? But it didn't. What to do? Good question. What to do to get worms to grow on catalpa trees? Mostly you don't use any kind of pesticides on them, and the moths will come and find your tree. And then, I'm serious. My grandfather used to say, leave the tree alone and the caterpillars will be there because the moths will find it. I don't know what time of year they show up more often than others. The only time I ever actually saw the catalpa worms were in the refrigerator in a box that my grandfather had to go fishing with. So, and they're old catalpa trees. Okay, well, good. If you're not finding, if there's not any pesticides being used around them and you're not getting any opportunity, there's no moths, butterflies coming in laying eggs and whatnot, I would say it's probably time to fertilize the trees this fall. Not right this minute, but fertilize them during the winter for next year. Try and get some new growth, because that's what they eat, is that new growth. So we may need to do that. There's probably somewhere that you can order them. I've never done that. I've been around folks who ordered like ladybugs, you know, for their garden and things like that, but the aphid lions, but those are more controlled settings, and I don't know if you can buy those. Somebody will tell us. They always do. Interesting. That vine has got my attention, I tell you. Really got my attention. Let's see. I have no acorns on my sawtooth, white, or water oak this year. Would this be because of a late frost this spring? It certainly could be. It could also be the result of the drought last fall. I'm certainly seeing fewer acorns at my place, and there was not a late freeze at my house, but there was certainly plenty of drought in the fall of last fall. And that's one of the things that will slow down the acorn production. It's not that they weren't there, it's that they got knocked off because the tree couldn't support them. That would be my best guess. I don't know. I don't know what else would cause that. We really don't have nearly enough opportunity to go back and ask the tree. You know, I always talk about forensic horticulture, what happened, but we can't really go back and ask the tree what happened. I have seen fewer acorns than I usually see at this point in the year, and I've also seen more of them. For instance, on the top of some surfaces in the garden, they've already been chopped up and eaten. So I'm not sure what's going on. They don't seem to be stashing them. They don't seem to be gathering them up. Usually there's a whole lot of acorns in the beds at my house, but they're not this year. Maybe that's why I couldn't figure out that it was time for preseason football. I don't know. There's so many things that go together, you know, trying to get the acorns out of the flower bed. Anyway, let's see. Oh, my goodness, time is tight, isn't it? You know, somebody wrote to me and said, have you ever seen Booker T and the MGs in person? The answer is yes, once, and I feel entirely blessed for it. Now, I'm not blessed for that many things, but I was definitely happy to be there. Good grief, what a fantastic bunch of music. And I'll be quiet now so you can hear some. This is Time is Tight.
Feel like you are in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you will always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com today.
Up before the dawn and home long after the sun sets. We pass this farm work ethic on to our children, too. They have their chores just like yours, but we also raise animals. Taking care of these animals helps them understand just how important what we do on this farm is for their future and Mississippi's.
Another way Mississippi farmers grow what's important to your life, the farm families of Mississippi.
Cashback is not available on...
Perkinston wins today. You don't win anything except our undying gratitude. The plant is, in fact, Pineland hibiscus, the flower that Lance is seeing blooming in the ditch. I only had two choices in my head, but that was one of them, and it's the right one. Also called comfort root, for those of you who prefer those kinds of names. Hibiscus, I think Abel Moschus, let me see which one. No, Eculustis is this one. So for those of you who care which hibiscus it is.
And whenever you do a new round of shirts in the future, people like Bill, you know, if they give us a good answer, they come up.
They get a shirt.
They get a shirt. They're going to have to get a shirt. They've got to. Limited edition.
Be here
the
in,
new garden
they'll be here in October.
The October version.
We have shirts coming for the fantastic, amazing Bottle Tree Garden Tour.
So, Bill, you're up. You'll be on the list.
I'll be there, and Bill, you're definitely on the list.
And thank you, because I've been curious. That's one that's kind of stumped me. I've looked at pictures and all this and put it in that. And that was not anything I got in return.
Well, he knew where to look and what it was going to be, and so that was the right one. But Pineland or Comfort Root, either one, Pineland hibiscus. Oh, these are delightful. Terry's in Boca Chica listening to the show, drinking coffee and eating muscadines. That sounds like a pretty good morning to me.
Yeah,
beautiful muscadines.
They are beautiful, aren't they? Man, have you ever done the muscadine wine?
Yeah.
It's a little sweet, but it's good.
It's a little sweet, but it's a very nice, it's a nice thing in things.
Yeah.
It's
I had a
nice...
friend up in the north, and he used to make some, and it was sweet, buddy, but it was good. It was, like, I think trying to cook with it or use it for other things, I never really got that deep into it, but I'd love to know more about, you know, just what else you can do with the muscadine. The wine stuff, like, is there a dish? Like, is it?
Yeah,
I'd love to know some, you know, sweetening recipes.
He would rather hear from y'all, because all I'm going to tell him is that you can make a really good fruit salad dressing that involves.
I bet that's good. Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I'm always going to put it on something. Andrea, how beautiful. Andrea. Those bulbs are blooming again. That's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Can you please suggest another bulb that I might have success with. If you've never grown Fritillaria, try Fritillaria this fall. That's a beautiful one. I'm sure I'll think of another one when I get off the air, and I'll bring it back next week if I can remember to do that. But that's the one that occurs to me first. Fritillaria is hard to grow, and it's beautiful, though. And dragon lilies are beautiful, too. This is a different issue of that, but that's another one that's really fun. Okay. Well, I don't know. We're looking at a plant for Trey. He says there's no purple in the stem, but it's such a tiny little plant. So that flower doesn't look like milkweed to me, but I could be wrong. I'm often wrong. Send that one to me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, and I will pull it up and poke around in the picture a little harder than I can do here. You know, y'all know that I'm not quite blind, but I do have to blow things up a lot to be able to see flower parts and, you know, leaf veination and that kind of stuff. So I'm always happy to do that. Always happy to do that. All right. I know that y'all, probably nobody except me, is really interested in the cheese of the future. I'm going to start by saying, if you have not ever eaten, let me start it a different way. If you were, like me, told to lower your cheese consumption at a certain phase in your life, and you began to try to do that, you discovered that the things that were so-called faux cheese did not melt, they didn't taste very good, and they were not really an appropriate substitute for the cheese that I have loved my entire life. So this particular world is animal-free alternatives to cheese. I don't care about the animal part. I'm not allergic to the dairy. It's not that part. But researchers at the University of Göttingen are investigating consumer acceptance. In other words, we got all this stuff that we've developed. Now we want to know, will anybody buy it? Well, we got to find out. They're trying to figure out biotechnological processes to produce the dairy products that we love, particularly things like cheese, that are now you know, for those of us who took cashews and brewer's yeast and threw it together and made a cheese substitute, which is actually quite delicious. Trust me, I'm not the best one in the world to make it, but it is a delicious substitute. This just sounds crazy. These are egg and milk proteins done in precise fermentation. Doesn't that sound like beer? Anyway,
sounds like science.
Bacteria, yeast, and other fungi. So the question is, will it work? Will you try them? Will you give them a shot? I will try them because I really do love the non-dairy cashew cheese. I think it's a very fine thing. But there's a lot of ways to do this. The vegan world has been doing this with cashews and other nuts, actually, for a long time. But this is a different approach. I'm glad that they're doing it. I hope that it's going to turn out to be better than the faux cheeses that never were quite cheesy enough for me at all. There was something.
You mean you're not like a powdered cheese fan? Velveeta goo?
But I prefer that to the ones that have nothing in them at all.
The Kraft stuff,
Other ones, no, that's fine. But there were things that they put in packages and called it healthy or faux cheese, and it never melted. It didn't get nothing grew on it. For example, if you left it on the counter, it never was going to get attacked by anything, not even the cats, you know, because it was just unpalatable. Let's see. Interesting. The black-eyed Susans at Ray's house did not bloom. He gave them no nitrogen. Presumably, you gave them a little bit of other fertilizers because they're growing and they're nice and healthy. But I got to tell you, I don't know why they're not blooming. If I had to do something right now to try to make them bloom, since they're growing against brick, I would go cut them back a little bit and see if we can't push out some more new growth and some flowers because they should be blooming right now. This is kind of prime time for them. But that's what I would do. I know you got plenty of sun. I know you got plenty of water and warmth there. It's a fine garden. So I would just say probably cut off a little bit and see if we can't maybe give them a little flower fertilizer, something to promote flowering, and see if we can't get them to go ahead and give you a fall show. That would be nice. Oh, Jim's Plums. That's beautiful. Good grief. Good grief. That's beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Really, really lovely. I ate a plum the other day that was good. I ate one the week before that wasn't. That tells you that they're really not good until they get ripe. Oh, and that's another question. Will they get riper when you have them in your house? If you've got them at the grocery store and you feel like they're not quite ripe enough, it probably will not ripen anymore. If you put it in the refrigerator, it's not going to do it at all. But if you put it on in the counter, like in a fruit basket, it'll ripen a little bit more. And at the very worst, the skin will get a little bit drawn up, and it is actually sweeter on the inside when that happens. So this is National Science Week, friends. It's not just because of wanting to talk about cashews and cheese of the future, which is plant-based. I got to say, though, they're going to have to do some blind tastings because people have such prejudices against either the regular cheese or against the new form of it that you would actually have to have an absolute blind tasting. I would participate. I would try them. Still might not like them. Homer Sinclair. Good morning, Homer.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing well. What's going on today?
I got some okra, Miss Neal, that's as tall as I am, and I'm right at 6 feet, and it does not have anything on it. I think I put too much fertilizer on it, I guess.
You could have. The good news is that the fertilizer will wash out eventually and you'll get some okra. If the plants are in happy condition now, we got plenty of time for okra. You know, it'll make. But it's easy to over-fertilize it because it's another hibiscus. It's like the hibiscus we were just talking about that grows in the ditch. They grow and bloom and don't really need much attention, you know, when in their native condition. So we do need to give okra that we plant a little bit of fertilizer, but it's pretty easy to overfeed them. And I bet you got big leaves and they're real pretty.
Oh, God, it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I got one big row of stuff I fertilize in one place, and then I put two other rows. Those are doing the two rows are doing really, really good. They're producing. They started producing. Mm-hmm. I planted it a little late, but mm-hmm. the 6 feet stuff is not doing anything. The others are about 4 feet tall, but
and they're already making okra.
I mean, yes.
What variety do you grow?
You know, I just buy it from
the garden store here. Well, the good news is when you shop locally, you're going to get a variety that'll grow because those folks are not going to put anything out there that they don't know about. You know, it's not like when you go somewhere that's not local. We go places that aren't local. Right. Sometimes we encounter seeds of things that we never heard of, first of all, but secondly, that we didn't know wouldn't grow here. So all the okras do fine. I think if I was going to do anything, if I was worried about it at all, I might water that one row a little more to try and get that fertilizer out of their root zone. But it's going to get out of their root zone. And it'll probably make beautiful okra, but it'll be late. Isn't that interesting how that works out, though?
Yeah. Well, the more I find out about plants, sometimes the more I understand us because we work so much alike.
You are so right. You always tell me something that I needed to know. You're absolutely right, Homer. Thanks for calling today.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Yeah, this is National Science Week. Y'all know that I'm a big fan of the legendary guitar player Stephen Van Zandt. He has an initiative about bringing music into schools, which is very well accepted in many, many places and doing some real good work to make sure that music stays in school. You know that I believe it because I'm the product of it, but I also believe it because my kids were and I saw how that benefited them. The arts really do push all the other skills. And so, for example, his work right now is to take STEM, you know, the acronym STEM and add an A in there. So we not only have tech and math and science, we also have arts. So STEM becomes STEAM. I think it's brilliant, and I'm promoting it in my own world. So let me know what you think about it when it goes on. Question about milkweed from Trey, whether that's a milkweed plant. It really did not look like it to me, but I agree with him that we do need to have some red on one of the stems or the petiole or somewhere on there for us to recognize that one very well. I'm glad to tell you, though, that the Field Museum in Chicago has proven to us that we actually are doing better than we thought. Now, of course, we understand that monarch butterflies are not as well supported by their environment as they had been. They only eat milkweed. They prefer the native milkweeds, for example, if they're in Mexico and they live there, that's the one they eat. But we grow that one here for its flowers, and it may or may not be as helpful to them as our own natives are. But what we have understood is that we needed to have milkweed, and we thought people needed to get out and plant some more. They do. But the Field Museum has let us know that basically if you plant it, they will come. Whenever its study found that monarchs will find the milkweed wherever it is, even in planters on balconies, on a rooftop garden, or out behind the shed. You know, in other words, you don't have to make it a big formal thing. And the good news is that any milkweed garden is going to be beneficial to the monarchs. And I just think that's great. Rachel's in Clarksdale. We're going to stay up there for a little while today. What's going on, Rachel?
Oh, let me begin with I'm your number one fan.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm calling to see why my crepe myrtles aren't blooming.
Okay. Did they bloom at all this year?
Well, just very few blooms. They're old. They're probably like 25 years old.
Mm-hmm. Did they bloom last year?
They did.
Okay. I'm going to put it to the drought that we had this last fall, because a lot of trees, they're all forming their flowers, you know, for the next year as they lose their leaves and go into winter. They've got those flower buds going. I don't think they were able to form them. It could have been wet conditions in the spring, but I think last year's drought was a bigger problem for a lot of our trees.
So I just need the water, huh?
Well, if it turns out to be a very, very dry year again, because we're moving into dry, we're not quite as dry yet, and we hope not to get as dry as we were last year. But, yes, if you could do a deep soaking in October and November, if it turns out that we don't have enough water then, might help next year. Thanks for getting in touch, Rachel.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. I hope to talk to you again soon. Listen, this computer here is hitting me in the head. We got to step away, but we'll be back.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. You may be able to save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Family term.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll be a saxophone player in the next life. So I'm probably not going to learn now. Sure do love saxophones, though. My goodness. We played them a little bit, but they were always one of the more expensive instruments.
Who was the most famous, in your mind, non-musician that we know of that was a pretty dang good saxophone? Probably still is a good saxophone.
Bill Clinton.
There you go. He could wail on it a little
bit. Somebody call Arsenio Hall for me. I'll just get into the time machine.
Had to do it. He could put on a show.
Because that was the point at the time, was to get your attention, and it did. It got everybody's attention. Come on. Nobody had done that before. The sunglasses, the whole thing.
No, he was cool. I thought it was
very cool. The epitome of cool at that particular moment in time. I think this is cool. Now, you all may not agree with me, but I think this is really cool. I drive past. There's a lot of things being torn down around me, and new stuff is coming. You know, things are getting built. But there's a lot of rubble. And I have my own share of rubble from taking up a sidewalk, or it was not a sidewalk, but like going out from your house to the street. And since you can't walk up there at that time, there was no point in having it. Messed up the drainage, needed to be replaced. But it gave me a lot of rubble, which is why I have a lot of rubble at my place. I've wondered, and I drive by these places and I think, what are they going to do with all that concrete? Well, the good news is that the University of Tokyo is now taking ruined old concrete from a demolished school building, not just one, but that kind of thing. And what they are able to do is recycle it, turn it into new blocks strong enough to build a house with, and sequester some carbon dioxide in the meantime. Now, come on, that's great. That's a solution that's not, that we have a big problem. They've taken down a gas station, the gas pumps are still there. But the rest of the entire space is covered up in concrete rubble. So, okay, let's grind it apart and then heat it up to form the new block in a mold. And instead of making this could help to recycle some of this mess that's laying around, but it also traps the carbon dioxide. And indeed, they could theoretically be used again and again with this particular process. I think that's cool. If we're going to make something, let's make it so. Like, if we can't compost it, let's make it so we can reuse it, you know? Come on. I really appreciate very, very much William's expression of saying the add the art. You know, you use the step from moving from the apprentice to the journeyman to the master craftsman is the master craftsman knows where to put the art. That's very true. We've got that we agree on that one today for sure. Rhett's in Ridgeland. Rhett, that's funny, but I'm not going to say that on the air. You just hold on. I'm not going to say that. Harumph. Same could be said for talk show hosts. Harumph.
I'm just a humble producer here.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Board op producer. I'm, yeah.
He knows what I'm talking about. That's funny. Y'all are so great. Oh, by the way, I had another question about the wedding flowers from my daughter's wedding. Yes, they are growing, and it's very exciting. It's very, very, very exciting, in fact. You may or may not know about these things, but when you take on such a responsibility for anybody, but particularly for your own child, it causes you some panic at times. So what if this and what if that? Well, that's how it goes. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rhett. That's interesting enough. I appreciate that. And that is true. That is a younger person's expression. That is true. Great stuff. All right. I'm going to start the argument, which I cannot end. Dukes or Hellmann's? Okay, that's the argument, right? I got to tell you.
Nobody's a blue plate fan around
I got to tell you. I'm old-fashioned. I'm blue plate. But anyway, researchers are using mayonnaise not to measure the power of pimento cheese, but to study and address the stability challenges of nuclear fusion. That's enough.
Mayonnaise and nuclear fusion?
That's enough.
Wow.
Yes, you can go forth and read more about it because it's fascinating. I've sat there for 10 minutes last night reading this stuff going, I don't know anything about nuclear fusion, but I'm fascinated that it takes mayonnaise to help. Anyway.
I mean, I love some people are, you know, you have people that love mayonnaise and people that hate it. There's really not many in-betweeners.
No, there absolutely is on the salad dressing end, too. That thing that comes in the jar that they call salad dressing that's white, there are people who like that. Now we're going to hear from all of them. My late husband, you know. Oh, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that. Jim, that's a baby. That's from Jim. That's Jim's plums. I was looking at the wrong thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, I'm not sure about that. But the interestingly enough, that's true. The parts of the process of the concrete block business, because you do have to apply heat to it, is how does it come out ultimately? And that's obviously something that they have to measure, or the process will be discarded in favor of some other way of dealing with this concrete. If it can sequester the carbon dioxide to a greater level than it generates heat, then they've got a winner.
I think we have a winner coming into the home stretch here in the finish line, that Blue Plate may actually be taking the cake here.
We got some Blue Plates. Yeah, that's like, on my side, so, you know.
I do like Hellman's. I do like Duke's.
And I don't.
They're all a little
no
different.
No offense. I'm not going to turn them down.
They're all a little different.
But if you serve me Duke's, I'm probably going to have to put some vinegar in it before I can eat it because it's too sweet for me. But that's just me. That's just me. I know that's not everybody. I get it.
I don't know why people haven't come out with, like, so it's already done, where you just put a whole bottle of hot sauce.
All the aiolis.
Do all the aiolis
and make them in a line so you can just buy them that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm tired of, like, making my own.
Put in jalapenos and hot sauce. And
this is,
now we have one vote for Miracle Whip.
Hey, I like Miracle Whip, too. I mean, I like mayonnaise, so it's a...
That's the tough one. See, and there are people like Rhett who give up Blue Plate for Duke's because they've been in search of that greater mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, the work at Nuclear Fusion is done with Hellman's.
Okay, now...
I don't know if that's because they got a grant from Hellman's. I can't really tell you, but that's what they do.
So we have people that they like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a question I have because it's a serious debate out in the world. Is do you put mayonnaise on a hot dog?
Yes, if you want it.
I'm just saying, there are people that tell you you can't do that.
Oh, there are people that tell you shouldn't
do that.
They're purists. Absolutely.
You can't do that. So
absolutely.
I'll put anything on a hot dog.
Because it makes the bun too soft.
Yeah, whatever. I'm going to eat any. I'll put anything on a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
I even like a Mexican style with a bacon wrapped around the hot dog.
I'm going Chicago dog.
I love a Chicago dog.
With Paquito peppers all day long. That's me.
Now, Paula says, I want to make my own mayo. Paula,
you know,
I trust you can do this.
I trust that.
I bet you
You got to have a really good blender and the patience of Job in order to make your own mayonnaise.
Well, I think she is a patient person.
I think she is.
So I believe she can pull this off. Yes, you put mayo on hot dogs. Thank you, Paula.
See, there we go. There's another one.
And it's got to be mayo and mustard on my
hot dog. Thank you, Thomas.
Always love hearing from you, Thomas.
Appreciate that very, very much.
Great minds think alike.
That's right. That's right. It depends on for me. I don't have to have mayonnaise on my hot dog.
No, I don't have
But if there isn't anything else but mayonnaise and mustard, I'm probably going to have some mayonnaise.
Yeah. I love just opening the little Heinz relish stuff and just dousing it
all
with relish and mustard. So I like a variety because I'm going to eat about six of them if I'm eating one dog. And I want to do them all different. I like a
If you're
a
only having one, then you're ill.
That's what I'm trying to say. If I'm going
to
have one, it's just going to be the dog with a bunch of onions on it. But, you know,
every
one of them I like to do a little different.
Thank you very much for a great show, Lance. Thank you so much, all of y'all.
Great images today, guys.
We now have great images. We all have all of our mayonnaise comments. And come back next week. We'll do it again.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Customers, a whole home energy upgrade. The Propane Energy Pod Builder Incentive Program. What's the Propane Energy Pod? It's a total home energy upgrade that combines high-efficiency propane gas appliances to meet a home's major energy needs and delivers superior comfort and efficiency compared with all electric homes. Not only is it good for homeowners, it's good for builders, too. All propane homes, on average, are valued up to 5% higher than all electric homes. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.